This morning we're going to be giving ourselves a little report card. How many, it's been a long time since you've had a report card? Oh yeah, okay. Well, you know, we've been doing a summer series called Live to Give, right? We've talked about a number of different areas in our faith walks, and with the goal of putting it into action, not just talking about it.
Okay, and we want to make sure everybody has a report card. So over here, Dale's got pens and report cards. Because you don't be thinking you
everyone
can squirm out of this. It's not happening. Everybody wave it at me. Okay, Dale, you got a report card. I want to see.
Okay.
Jerry, Sarah, you guys all have report cards. You can. Okay. All right. Good.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, so now it's Labor Day weekend, right? And we thought we're going to bring the series to a close, but rather than opening up a new topic, we thought, well, let's recap what we've taught all summer long. All these different things, and see how we're doing, seeing if we're actually putting any of these things into practice. So we're going to do one more Live to Give, and this time, Live to Give an honest self-assessment. You can see Jesus' report card up there. He gets all A pluses on his report card. So that's good. So if I see any A pluses on your report cards, I'm going to be wondering about your honesty, actually. Yeah. So, are we hearers only, or are we doers of the word? That is what we're going to be talking about this morning. James 1, 22 through 25, this is the message version, so it'll sound a little different. And it says this, don't fool yourself into thinking you are a listener when you're anything but letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea what they look like. Kind of like that cat in the picture, right? But whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, the free life, even out of the corner of his eye, and sticks with it, is no distracted scatterbrain, but a man or woman of action. That person will find delight and affirmation in the action. Now, the only one who can really give you an honest grade this morning is yourself, right? Or possibly, if you're married, your husband or wife could give you an even more accurate report card than that. But rather than risk that kind of potential, you know what I mean, accusation, denial, conflict, we're going to do some honest self-introspection this morning. Ask ourselves, have we made any progress? Are we growing in any of these areas? So if your spouse is sitting next to you this morning, resist the temptation to look over and see how they're rating themselves. You know, give them the courtesy of honest self-assessment. You know, let them be brutally honest with themselves without any pointy elbows getting them in the ribs or anything like that, okay? Our scriptural basis this morning for this topic is 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, where it says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? Now, I realize probably maybe some, were able to be here every week this summer. Is there anyone who hasn't missed a week all summer? They've got to hear all of these messages. Anybody? Maybe John? Okay. You get an extra hug and an extra high five if you were here all summer, especially if you came on time, but that's another topic altogether. So if you weren't here though, you'll get to hear a whole bunch of mini sermons this morning. So you'll know where we've been, what we've been teaching all summer long. And you can still grade yourself on those things, okay? Now our series started out June 12th with a Live to Give, Love in Action. And in that message, we talked about how love for God and love for others are inseparably bound together. You can't have one without the other. We talked about the word agape in Greek, that Greek word that is a supernatural kind of love that God gives to us and that he expects us to learn to give to others. So if we say we love God In order for that to be a true statement, we also have to love others. The word agape is more than a feeling, a love that's more than a feeling. It is a verb. It requires action. We went to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, and we focused on this one aspect of love, is that love keeps no record of wrongs. Does anyone remember that service? Because what did we do? We wrote down some things that we needed to forgive people of, to let go, to keep no record of wrongs. We brought them on some red paper. We brought them up. We stuck them in the shredder. And all this mess up here is all of those things that you wrote down and shredded, symbolically letting them go, forgiving the people who we had held something against. So our first assessment this morning is, are we keeping no record of wrongs? When you think back to that day, the things that you wrote down, whatever it was that you put through that shredder, did you just pick it right back up? Did you mean it when you did that? Or have you continued to dwell on those things? Maybe you're still working through it. Or is it just business as usual? Maybe you wrote it down, shredded it, and just went right back to where your heart was beforehand. So on your handout, rate yourself. Make a note of anything. There's some space in between those for you to write something, either positive or negative, that the Lord may be talking to you about. Now, if you're embarrassed to actually write a letter down, you don't necessarily have to, but you can think about it in your head. How would I really rate myself? Now, a C would be, it's status quo. Nothing's changed. A B would mean, I'm doing better. Praise God. There's an answer key or a letter key down on the bottom there. If you got an A, man, praise God, you're doing amazing. Now, if you got a D, that means you're not doing too good. And if you're giving yourself an F, Lord, Lord, help us, right? And He will, and He will. So give yourself a minute and answer that one for that. Are you keeping no record of wrongs? How are you doing on that? I'll give you just a few seconds to think about that. Now on June 19th, we celebrated Father's Day. We talked about learn to give the Father's love. We mentioned the shortcomings that our fathers have. Some, a lot of shortcomings, some a few shortcomings. We talked about how flesh and blood people like us, we like to put conditions on our love. But the Father's agape love is without conditions, right? So we're to learn to give that kind of love, unconditional love. We talked about the prodigal son that day. We talked about how the Father represents that kind of love that our Heavenly Father has for us. So how that father in the story waited patiently for his wayward son to come to his senses. And when the son came home, the father was watching and waiting for him. He ran and he embraced his son. He restored him to his place in the family. He welcomed him with unconditional love. He never chewed him out. He never said, I told you so. And he didn't dwell on the foolishness or his disobedience. He welcomed him home with joy. Now, aren't you glad that our Father is that way with us? Yes, amen, amen. So now it's time to assess ourselves on that. Whether or not we are living to give unconditional love, or do we put all kinds of conditions on our love? Have there been any growth in that area? Any change in our ability to love unconditionally? Take a moment. Ask God about that. Examine yourself. Write it down. Whatever He may be telling you. Go ahead and grade yourself on that. Am I loving with the Father's love unconditionally?
How many remember this? Anybody? What were these? our patience plates. On June 26th, we were invited to Gary and Palma's for a potluck. And we knew that in order to feast at the potluck, we were going to need plates to pile our food on. The analogy that I was trying to make when I handed out patience plates was that to try to love others without showing and demonstrating God's love and patience is the same as like trying to feast without a plate to put your food on. We would look like a bunch of pigs coming up to the trough and just going from thing to thing to thing. It would be nasty, smelly, messy, dirty, okay? We want to nicely go through, serve ourselves on our plate. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 5, and please, we're going to shoot at a bunch of passages this morning. Jot those down as a remembrance. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 5 reminds us that love is very patient and kind, never jealous or envious or boastful or proud or haughty or selfish or rude. The source of our patience comes from the Heavenly Father. We have to abide in Him in order to produce that kind of patience. The Lord instructs us in Hebrews 12:1 to run with patience the particular race that God has set before us. Romans 5:3-5 says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they are good for us. They help us learn to be patient. And patience develops strength of character. It helps us trust God more each time we use it until finally our hope and our faith are strong and steady because we've allowed His patience to come into full blossom. James 1:2-4. Dear brothers and sisters, is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Look at me. Is your life full of difficulties? Temptations. James says, be happy. Be happy if you have difficulties. For when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. So let it grow. And don't try to squirm out of your problems. For when your patience is finally in full bloom, you will be ready for anything, strong in character, full and complete. So, has anybody been trying to squirm out of your problems? This week I found myself, I know, two hands. I was like, oh, I just want this to go away. I just want this situation. Anybody, just could this situation, could this problem, could that person, could that just, and the Lord said, you're trying to squirm out of this, aren't you? It's the very thing I'm using to grow your patience and your kindness towards others. Oh, okay. So look at your report card. Ask yourself, are you using patience to serve and show others God's love? God's love is very patient. How am I doing it? Grade yourself. If we use it, great. If we don't use it, we're going to lose it. And also, practice makes perfect.
Are you done with patience, or should I be more patient while you? Okay. On July 3rd, okay, Independence Weekend, we talked about learning to live to give true independence. Now, as we celebrated our Independence Day, we were reminded that according to Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is really in heaven. This isn't our country, other than physically, but our real primary citizenship is in heaven. And in John 8:36, it says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Our challenge is to learn to live to give the true freedom from consequences of sin that only Christ can give. We talked about being engaged in the battle for souls to be free with the same kind of commitment that our brave military has shown over all these years to keep us free. But the true freedom only comes from God. We talked about being prepared to share our testimony, our story of independence, how we should be rehearsing that in our mind, how we could write our story even, write it out so that we're ready to tell our story so that no one can deny the power of God that's been in our lives. We need to be prepared. So today, as you grade yourself with that, have you been prepared to share your testimony, your story, so that others can experience true independence? Have you been prepared? Have you been doing it? Have you been sharing that story with others? Go ahead and take a second and grade yourself on that one.
Okay. Does anybody remember what we celebrated on July 17? Okay, it was the 20th anniversary of Pastor turning 39.
Yeah.
Okay, we had a nice potluck, a nice celebration. And we studied kindness. 1 Corinthians 13:4, once again, love is patient and kind. So we looked at three focuses in regards to kindness, and we talked about the fact that whatever you're focused on, whatever you're thinking about is what you're going to be thinking about. You're going to be going through those things with your thoughts, your energy, your time. And about right then, do you remember what I was focused on? There should be a prize if anybody remembers this. Does anybody remember what I was focused on? Stan! Prize! Somebody, prize! Does anybody have a pie you can bring back tonight for Stan? Okay, what was your favorite? Apple would be okay? Apple pie? Okay. Coconut cream. Okay. I was focused on parking lots. I was focused on the striping, the curbs, the whole everything. Because we were in that process. It was my focus. I couldn't go to Walmart or Bi-Mart or Safeway, but what I did not look at parking lots, look at striping when I went down the road. Okay, I was focused, focused, focused. Well, we talk about whether it's a new car you're getting or your vacation or your home project, things at work that have your attention, something going on in a relationship, you're going to think about it, think about it, think about it. You're going to focus on it. It's going to maybe be hard to even turn it off at night. Anybody? Do you have trouble turning it off at night? I got some brothers and sisters in the house. It's just hard. And you know that I try and tell myself, it'll still be there in the morning. It'll still be, so turn it off. But it's hard sometimes. Well, I challenged us to on purpose focus on kindness. And the first focus was going to be on praising God for his loving kindness towards us. Your first focus. On purpose, find out the power of praising God for his loving kindness. We looked at 2 Chronicles 20. 2 Chronicles 20. Check out that whole passage sometime in the Old Testament. It talked about the three vast armies that came against the children of God. They sought the Lord in prayer and fasting, and the Lord himself led them to send out the choirs in the very front of the army when it came time to do battle. He said, I want the choirs to go forth first in their holy attire. And they were instructed to sing, thy loving kindness endures forever. And that act alone confounded the enemy. The enemy camps were so confused that they actually turned against each other and fought and killed each other. It was a triumphal victory, to say the least. So, are you focusing on God and praising him deliberately on mountains high, in valleys low? Praise him, for his loving kindness endures forever. Secondly, when it comes to kindness, we were going to start praying for others' hearts to experience the loving kindness of the Lord. Because Romans 2 verse 4 says, it's the loving kindness of the Lord that draws people to repentance. So often we want to say, whatever it takes, go get them, just pressure them. But the Word of God says it's His loving kindness that draws them. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for pre-Christians to experience His loving kindness. Lastly, when it comes to kindness, we were challenged to focus on practicing random acts of kindness. Three things there. Praising God for His loving kindness, praying for others to experience it, and then being Jesus by practicing random acts of kindness. And then we were challenged not to be tempted to show and tell. Because too often we like to tell people what we've done. Look what I did. And the Word of God says, let others praise you and not your own mouth. Okay, let that be the Lord who lifts you up. Because if we lift ourselves up, that's called pride, and we're going to fall. So make sure and not show and tell when you do other things. Our ushers, they handed out little strings to remind us that when we choose to show random acts of kindness, there needs to be no strings attached. Sometimes we want to do it hoping we'll get something in return. We have an ulterior motive or mixed motives. But we're to do random acts of kindness with no strings attached. So look at your report card. Let's make an honest assessment. How are you doing when it comes to kindness?
On July 31st, our topic was this: live to give the aroma of Christ. And that came from 2 Corinthians 2, verses 14 and 15, where it says, God uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. So this, of course, was teaching us that wherever we go, whatever we do, we are either emitting the sweet smell of Christ or our flesh is stinking up the place, right? Ephesians 5:2 says, walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now, we talked about how different smells affect people differently. Different things we think smell good. Other person might think it smells bad. And some perceive the aroma of Christ in that same way. Some perceive the aroma of Christ in a negative way. Maybe the exclusive nature of Christ's claims repulses them in the same way that some smells would repulse us. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 16 said, to the one, we are an aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life. Are we emitting a true aroma? Are we actually emitting the kind of aroma that would attract people to Jesus? Or are we stinking it up? That's our personal assessment this morning. How are you doing? When you walk in the room, are people glad you're there because the sweet smell of Jesus is on you? Or are they repulsed by the way we're stinking up the atmosphere with our attitudes, etc.? Go ahead and grade yourself on that one.
No elbows.
Moving on to August 7th, we talked about living to give a life that's fully committed. We moved away from our horizontal relationships with our fellow man to our vertical relationship with God and making that a top priority in our lives. So our passage came from 2 Corinthians 6:17. Where we're instructed to come out from among unbelievers, separate yourselves from them. So we talked about how Jesus wants to be in the world, but not of the world. That we should be different, easily distinguishable from the people who don't follow Christ. We shouldn't just blend in. We should be seen as something different should come from us. So the bottom line, so we need to be separated from sin and separated to God. I asked you all to examine your lives, to spend some time saying, what do I need to do to be more fully committed to God? I ask about making a radical change. What radical change do you need to make so that you could say that your life was fully committed to God, not divided? We talked about how the Jews would be far away from God, and then they would get so in trouble that they would have to come back to God. And when they did, they had to bust up something. They had to bust up idols. They had to bust up altars. And sometimes we needed to bust up some stuff. So we talked about a radical change. What did we need to bust up? Remember we showed you the clip from the movie Fireproof, where the man had to bust up his computer with a baseball bat. He busted it up because of his porn addiction. And we need to bust some stuff up too. That's what we talked about. So here's the way we're going to assess ourselves. Now that Sunday, the Lord showed you something you needed to bust up and destroy in your lives. Did you do it? Did you get yourself free from that so that you could be fully committed to Christ? Have you followed through with what he talked to you about that morning? Can you honestly say that you're living a life that's more committed now than you were then? Go ahead and grade yourself on that one.
Okay, and on August 14th, we were challenged to give others a hand. And this wasn't a helping hand. What kind of a hand was it? Can anybody demonstrate what kind of a hand were we going to give others?
Yay, some people remember.
Okay, pie for a couple of you over here. It was this kind of a hand. It was an applause. We were going to thank people, appreciate people for what they do, for who they are. And now it was going to be okay to show and tell others by saying, boy, oh boy, I appreciate you, Charlie. I really thank God for all that you do around here. It's that kind of a thing, showing appreciation, showing thanks for all the time, Fred, that you spent on this parking lot and your family and those little grandsons of yours. I mean, thank you, thank you. And each one, I said we could spend the whole time thanking you for all that you do around here at Sandingham Chapel. I also talked to us about, we talked about as a teacher or a coach comes alongside, say in a race, and will say, come on, don't give up, run harder, you can do it, come on, I believe in you, come on, stretch, give it more. We want to have that same kind of an attitude. Come along someone saying, don't give up, never quit, stay focused, keep on running, keep on keeping on. Let people hear you say, attaboy, you go girl. Let them hear you encouraging them. 1 Thessalonians 5, you want to write this down, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 11 through 14 in the New Living Translation. So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you already have been doing. Then Paul gives a final notice and advice to them. He says, dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and they give you spiritual guidance. Show great respect and wholehearted love because of their work and live peacefully with each other. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take care of those who are weak and be patient with everyone. And I wanted to add a side note that I really didn't talk about when I presented that sermon. I wanted you to know that when you hurt, church family, we feel that. We hurt. When you sorrow deeply, we sorrow deeply. We carry because we love. You are family to us. Thank you for loving us in return. Thank you for showing us honor and great respect and wholehearted love. You are a very beloved church to us. You are absolutely the best. I remember Brother John, Scott, and I, we used to always say, when's the honeymoon going to end? We just had such love and great respect for one another. But it was this week that I was driving up the mountain where we live now, going through those curves, just praying and talking to the Lord. And the Lord spoke a word to my heart. And, you know, when the Lord speaks, often I remember right where I was. It's something different. You know what I'm saying? You know what you were wearing, what you were doing. And the Lord spoke to my heart. And he spoke a word, and it was in regard to looking out for any person who may be trying to sow seeds of discord among his church in the form of backbiting or any rebellion against our leadership decisions or any gossiping, any slander or malice, any talebearing, any negativity or complaining in a mean-spirited way. Just like shepherds look out for lions, tigers, and bears, these shepherds on our watch have been instructed by the Lord to watch for anyone that would come and try and sow seeds of discord. And the word that the Lord gave me as I was curving around that road was, Cheryl, you need to nip it in the bud. Okay? When something's nipped in the bud, it doesn't ever get to full fruit. If we nipped all our buds in the spring, we never would see the fruit of the tree. He doesn't want to see anything that's going to come to his church that's going to bring discord or disunity, because he says he hates the sowing of discord among the brethren. I need to see this about right now. Is anybody hearing me? Is anybody with me? Okay. We are going to protect this body and this unity, and we are going to nip it in the bud. Our desire is that when people come into this fellowship, that they feel welcome, that they feel safe, that they feel protected from rudeness, judgmentalism, backbiting, meanness, bullying, any of that. Okay? The Lord said he hates that. And we need you, church family, to help us. So if you get wind of that, if someone comes to you and they have discontent and they're talking to you in a negative way, would you please let us know? Would you help us? Can I see your hands if you're going to help preserve the unity of God's church? You're going to help? Are you going to help? Okay. Are you going to help preserve the unity of God's church? Because nobody wants to come in where there's strife. Nobody, I don't want to be part of that. You can just feel it in the air. So help us nip things in the bud by letting us know and handle it. If you were here at Christmas time, you probably got one of our Christmas cards, but some of you weren't part of the fellowship. And as we were moving and unpacking more things this week, I found a handful of our Christmas cards. And these are going to be out at the Welcome Center, which is right across from the coffee bar. We want you to pick these up as a prayer reminder. This is like a prayer card for you to put in your Bible or on the fridge or in the bathroom. Remember to pray for us. This is a heavy and a hard position. Because remember, when you hurt. We take it to heart. Now I have a question for you. If you're speeding and you see a police, does your heart race? What if you're texting and driving, you're on your cell phone? Does your heart race? Okay, no elbows. Okay. So basically, if you're not breaking the law and you see the police, you don't break into a sweat, right? You're like, you look right now to the speedometer. Yes, I wasn't speeding. You look in the rearview mirror. Is he pulling out? Are his lights flashing? Yes, woohoo. Okay, I don't need to sweat. I wasn't breaking the law. I'm okay. So I want to say, hopefully this morning, nobody is breaking out into a sweat because they are sowing discord through complaining against one another. Remember, we're going to contend for and we're going to strive for it and be diligent to preserve unity. Hebrews 3, 12 through 14. So, brothers and sisters, be careful that none of you has the evil thoughts that cause so much doubt that you stop following the living God. Be careful, it says. But encourage each other every day while you still have something called today. Help each other so that none of you will be fooled by sin and become too hard to change. We're going to encourage right choices in Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. Let us consider how we might spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let's not forsake our assembling together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let's appreciate each other. Let's give each other a hand. Let them know that God's grace will see them through. So how are you doing? Are you applauding others? Are you encouraging others? Are you lifting them up? Go ahead and grade yourself.
On August 21st, we talked about learning to live to give a life of service. And we used 2 Corinthians 5:15, which says those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. We talk about how Jesus was a servant. He came to serve, he said. And so he asked us also to be servants. We talked about how a servant has a humble heart, a selfless heart, and a giving heart. And we mentioned ways that you could give of yourselves around the church. There's always things that need to be done. And to give yourselves to those who around you who need help. The bottom line is, have you made any changes in your level of servanthood? Have you looked for any ways to help out, to give of your time, your treasure, your talent? Assess yourself this morning. Some of you already had a servant's heart. And some of you have yet to find a niche where you can help out. And some of you just need to understand that you have something to offer. All of you have something to offer. God will bless you tremendously. So rate yourself on that. How are you doing with the servant's heart? Our last topic for the summer was living to give, the ministry of reconciliation, which is about helping others to be restored to Christ by not being judgmental about them and not having a spirit of condemnation, but the ministry of reconciliation. Remember we talked about Jonah and how Jonah wanted to see the Ninevites destroyed. He was not happy when they were redeemed by God. He wanted to see them destroyed. This was just last week. So for the past week, have you looked at people any differently, from a different perspective? Not as lost causes, but as lost sheep who are loved by God and who are have the potential of being transformed by Him. Have you had that attitude? I'm going to let you go ahead and grade yourself on that. Have you lived to give the ministry of reconciling people to God? And as we look at this overall, how does your report card look? Now that's between you and God, right? But it also affects the entire body. How you are reacting to the Word of God. If you're growing, if you're actually improving, if you're learning something, then that affects the whole body of Christ. If you had to grade yourself poorly, there's a scripture that we should read because it can brings conviction on us when that's the truth. Hebrews 5:12 says, "You have been believers so long now, you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's Word. You are like babies who need milk, cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong." Well, we've learned the difference between right ways of acting and wrong ways of acting all summer long. So are you growing? You know, if a plant isn't growing, it's dying. And so that's the same with us spiritually. Now we might be tempted to be overwhelmed as we look at our report card and go, man, I'm stinking it up. It's all C's or D's or maybe a B and I'm not doing very well. And so we need to think about, I can't do this on my own strength. We're overwhelmed thinking about how we can't do it. We just can't do it. And you're right, we can't do it. We can't have confidence in our flesh to do it, in our own willpower to do it, in our own strength to do it. Our confidence has to be in the Spirit of God who lives in us if we are born again believers. Remember Philippians 4:13 as you contemplate this report card. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. These are the kinds of things he's talking about. He's not going to give you the strength necessarily to be an Olympic athlete, but he is going to give you the strength to do these things that we talked about all summer long, to live to give all of these things through him. You can live to give love in action. You can live to give the Father's unconditional love to the people around you. Through him, you can give love that's patient. Through him, you can give guidance to people that they can have true independence. Through him, you can live to give kindness to those around you, not rudeness or meanness. Through him, you can emit the aroma of Christ and not the aroma of the flesh. Through him, you can live a life fully committed to him. Through him, you can give others a hand of appreciation instead of being critical. Instead of stirring up strife. In him you can have a life of service in his strength. Service to others. It's not all about you. It's not about me. It's about him. And in him you can give the ministry of reconciliation. You can help others find a relationship with God. But it has to start with that born again experience. This morning as we contemplate our report card for the summer, some of us may need to do some repenting. Now, the hour is getting late. I'm not going to keep you. And I want you to come back tonight. But I want you to think about these things and what God is really talking to you about. Are you like the baby that just wants milk over and over and over? It goes right through them. Or are you growing in Christ and ready for solid food, growing in solid food? There's a scripture that I didn't write down. It talks about how people come and they listen and you're like a singer that sings nice and a guy that's speaking nice, but it never actually changes them. And so, this is what we want. We want to grow. How many of you want to grow in the Lord? Let me see your hands. How many of you just don't want to come to church, listen to something, and go home and be the same way you were before? I don't think any of us do, or we wouldn't be here. But it takes putting into practice and praying and praying and praying over all these things that we can be the thing that God wants us to be. That we can live to give the kind of life that he wants us to give. Live. So as we close this morning, let's just concentrate on the fact that the Holy Spirit has got to do that for us. Father God, we thank you for the time we've had together. And Lord, for the communion as we celebrated your wonderful sacrifice. And Lord, each and every one of us wants to grow in you. We want to be more committed. We want to live the life that you have for us. We don't want to walk around stinking up the world in our flesh. We want people to smell the aroma of Christ on us. Lord, right now we just pray, Holy Spirit, do that work in each of us. In each of us. I know that there's many gone today and they want the same thing. We pray that over them, that you would touch their lives. Father, we give you praise and thank you now. As we come to a close, we worship you. And all God's people said, amen.